Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Channel Infrastructure conference call. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Rob Buchanan, CEO. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. I'm joined here today by our Chief Financial Officer, Alexa Preston. As you all would have seen, this morning we announced that we have acquired a strategic position in the Somerton Fuel Pipeline, a dedicated jet fuel pipeline in Melbourne that forms part of Australia's critical jet fuel supply chain infrastructure. Our intention isn't to take too much of your time today, but we will run through the slides we disclosed to the NZX and give investors and analysts an opportunity to ask any questions. Moving to slide two. We've been clear with our investors on our growth priorities and that growth is only pursued when the returns are above our weighted average cost of capital and consistent with our strategy of enhancing the overall value and quality of the business. At the half-year results, we highlighted that alongside looking at product storage and fuel and energy security projects at Marsden Point and opportunities along Channel's current supply chain to Auckland Airport, we were also considering taking a measured approach to incremental growth step-outs in New Zealand and Australia. The acquisition we've announced today is a particularly unique and exciting one, as it provides our investors with exposure to Melbourne Airport, one of the premier aviation fuel markets in Australasia, and expected to grow over the medium term with the addition of a third runway underway and no curfew. These are highly privileged assets and difficult to access, so we're pleased to be able to announce this transaction today. I'll hand over to Alexa to run through the investment case.
Thanks, Rob. As announced, the acquisition price for the 25% stake in the Somerton Pipeline joint venture is $14.2 million. This will be fully funded by Channel's existing debt facility, and we are expected to settle the transaction this Friday, the 28th of November. As we've demonstrated to date, we take a very disciplined approach to investment, and we take the responsibility of investing shareholders' funds very seriously. This transaction meets all of our strict investment criteria. The expected returns are above our weighted average cost of capital, and the investment is anticipated to be cash flow accretive in 2026. Consistent with our other contracts, the tariff revenues of the Somerton Pipeline are inflation-linked, adjusted by the Melbourne Transport Index for the year to 30 September, which is then applied to the following calendar year's earnings. Following completion, leverage will remain within Channel's target range of 3 to 4.5 times net debt to EBITDA, in line with credit metrics consistent with the shadow BBB flat to BBB plus credit rating. As the underlying investment is an unincorporated joint venture, Channel will proportionally consolidate the investment into our accounts, taking a quarter of the JV's earnings into Channel's consolidated EBITDA. I'll now hand back to Rob, who will cover the strategic rationale for the investment.
Thanks, Alexa. As well as meeting all our investment criteria, this transaction also meets our strategic objectives by enhancing the overall quality of our business with a measured step out into the Australian jet supply chain, and will enable us to continue to leverage our relationship with our customers on both sides of the Tasman, as well as expanding our customer base to include Viva Energy. Channel is a long-term investor in critical infrastructure, and as part of evaluating this investment, we identified a number of adjacent growth opportunities which have the potential to materially enhance the value of our existing investment through downstream expansion opportunities of the supply chain to utilise significant latent capacity in the Somerton pipeline, or providing new capital deployment opportunities while adding to the resilience of jet fuel supply to Melbourne Airport. While our entry price into the asset wasn't predicated on executing these opportunities, we have identified potential material medium-term value upside should we be able to execute them. This will require a patient approach, but we have seen already on the Auckland jet supply chain that growing fuel demand will provide incremental supply chain investment opportunities for us, like the well-progressed jet tank currently being built for Z at Marsden Point. On slide five of the pack, you can see Melbourne Airport's jet fuel supply chain and where the Somerton pipeline fits in. It's a 34-kilometre pipeline from the Yarraville, Altona and Newport terminals to the Somerton depot. The pipeline is operated by ExxonMobil, a proven world-class, safe and reliable operator of critical infrastructure and an existing customer of Channel's New Zealand operation. By acquiring part of an asset with an existing operator, we have ensured that we de-risk our entry into a new market in an operationally efficient way. Melbourne Airport is Australia's second busiest airport, with approximately 36 million passengers in 2024. The forecast growth in aircraft movements is outlined on slide six for your reference. Total Melbourne Airport jet fuel demand has steadily recovered post-COVID, and Victoria's total aviation fuel demand is now 14% above 2019. The drop you saw in 2025 relates to the one-off impacts of Cyclone Alfred and the demise of regional airlines Rex and Bonza. The medium-term outlook for jet fuel growth at Melbourne Airport remains strong, supported by international route expansion, domestic population growth, recovery in aviation activity, a planned third runway, and the absence of an operating curfew, unlike, for example, Sydney Airport. Melbourne Airport's third runway is under development and anticipated to be operational in 2031, providing capacity for an additional 136,000 arrivals and departures per year by 2046. Finally, I'd like to close by saying that nothing about this transaction changes our view on the opportunities ahead of us at Marsden Point, as well as the wider Auckland supply chain, and we'll keep investors updated as these opportunities progress. And with that, I'd now like to open the phone line for any questions you may have.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. And if you're on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Cameron McDonald from E&P. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Rob and Alexa. A couple of questions from me, and thanks for the presentation. Just in terms of the 25% sort of interest and stake, is there an opportunity over time to increase that that stake, and under what terms, or is there a first right of refusal on any further sell downs from any of the other participants?
Yeah, thanks for the question, Ken. So the short answer is, yes, there is an opportunity to increase that stake over time. And you can see from the picture we've given you on the Melbourne jet fuel supply chain that there are quite a number of assets along that supply chain that, you know, prima facie are attractive to us. What I'd say is probably the most interesting part of this acquisition is the Somerton pipeline has a very significant amount of capacity in it today. The same can't be said for some of the downstream infrastructure. And so as Melbourne Airport continues to grow, we see an opportunity for incremental investment in some of the downstream infrastructure to debottleneck that as well. And some of those opportunities we actually have by right of ownership of this pipeline, and some of them we'll have to negotiate our way into.
Okay, thank you. And then just in terms of, appreciate the comments, Alexa, around the inflation linkage on the revenue. Is there any sort of take or pay component to the revenue as well?
Thanks, Cam. The contract structures are such that it's really just facilitating participants' jet fuel throughput to Melbourne Airport, so there's no take or pay as such. But given the critical nature of this infrastructure and the fact that Melbourne Airport depends on it to operate, we don't think that's necessary.
Yeah. Okay. And then just finally, you know, there's one of the slides, or that slide on the infrastructure, shows that there's a trucking component that goes to Melbourne Airport as well. What percentage is that trucking component versus the pipeline and the infrastructure side of that supply chain? Like, what's the share between the two?
So the pipeline has the significant majority of the share, Ken. Some of this is commercial in confidence. What I'd say on the trucking is again, if you think about growth at Melbourne Airport, there are capacity constraints there on the trucking, particularly at the Zhuhai. So we're pretty comfortable in terms of the utilisation of the Somerton pipeline in the short, medium and long term.
Okay, great. Thank you. I'll hand it over.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Neville Jans from Jarden. Please go ahead.
Good morning, team. Number of questions. Cover off the preemptors. I guess, can you give us an indication roughly of what that pipeline utilisation level is at the moment? What percentage?
So current pipeline utilisation is around 30 to 40% level.
Oh, okay. Which probably flows on to the next question I had in mind, which is whether or not there's sort of CapEx needs on the pipeline in the sort of the near to medium term. I'm guessing the answer is no.
No, so if you look at that page, we've shown you that the Somerton pipeline's got capacity of 16.3 million litres per day, and yeah. Downstream, the Tullamarine pipeline has much smaller capacity, and so that's where we see the opportunity for incremental investment. And whether we're involved in that and earn incremental returns for capital deployed, or it just increases the utilisation of our asset, we think either way, it's good upside for us.
Great, thank you. And so next question, are you giving some sort of indication of what that cash flow, sort of positive, proportion of investment or sort of cash flow in dollar millions we should think out of the existing, the 25% stake?
I'll pass over to Alexa for that one.
Thanks, Rob. So Neville, as we've announced, the transaction is obviously accretive to us, and I think importantly for investors, DPS accretive. The historical earnings for the joint venture at an EBITDA level are about that 4 to 5 million Australian per annum, and we would receive a quarter share. The dividend payment out of that is pretty consistent. And the translation from EBITDA to free cash flow is also very strong.
Great, thank you. And any idea, sort of any indications on what the book value of the pipeline is at the moment?
Sorry, Neville, could you just repeat that question?
Book value of the pipeline?
Book value, post completion, we will have to work through the purchase price allocation to give you something that's relevant for us as to the book value. And we haven't worked through that exercise yet because we haven't completed. So that will form part of our disclosures at our year-end releases.
Right. Okay. Can wait on that. And this is obviously you've mentioned a few times in there the connection to ExxonMobil in New Zealand and your operations here. Are they sort of run out of the same office? Is the Australasian New Zealand operations of ExxonMobil, they tend to be quite linked for jet?
Yeah, well, certainly at a regional level, that's right, Neville. So the discussions that we have with Exxon, we've obviously got a dialogue in New Zealand. We've had a dialogue in Australia for a long period of time. And actually, interestingly, the technical manager of our pipeline, the Ruakaka Te Wiri pipeline, used to be the technical manager for this pipeline with ExxonMobil. So we've got a great deal of comfort on the asset itself.
Great, okay, that's useful. Thank you. That's all from me for now.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Andrew Harvey-Green from Forsyth Barr. Please go ahead.
Morning, Robin and Alexa. A couple of sort of questions from me as well. First of all, do you understand why the vendors are for any particular reason for that?
Was the question why are the vendors exiting?
Yes.
Yep. They've got a closed-end fund that they need to tidy up.
Okay. That's pretty straightforward. Second question, just looking, you had a couple of comments, I guess, looking at the Tullamarine pipeline and lack of capacity there relative to the Somerton pipeline. The Somerton depot, is there any sort of offtake from that? Do other products go down the Somerton pipeline and then get taken from the depot, or is it all jet?
No, it's 100% debt pipeline, Andrew.
Okay. The next question I just had was in terms of the pricing on the pipeline relative to the cost of trucking. Is there a significant difference there? Is there some sort of, I guess, pricing opportunity?
Look, the tariffs for the pipeline are mechanically set, as Alexa's articulated, but what I can tell you is it is a massive or a significant competitive advantage to using the pipeline over trucking, as you would expect. Certainly the incentive is utilisation of the pipeline.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. And last question, I think it's Viva Energy. They have a project looking at a pipeline into the port, which I assume is from their refinery. They're going into more detail in terms of where the status of that particular project is at. But are you able to sort of comment on that? And is that how much of a competitive threat is that?
So what Viva pipeline were you referring to, Andrew?
They have a Melbourne Port pipeline project. So we're talking about potential construction starting this year or next year.
Oh, right. Okay, yes. So, that forms part, that's called the Somerton Extension, and that forms part of the opportunity set for this pipeline. And that is another opportunity to de-bottleneck the downstream of this pipeline, and one of the opportunities I referred to when I said there's an opportunity for us to deploy incremental capital in this asset, and some of those actually come along with ownership of the asset.
Okay. That's great. That's all from me.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Wade Gardner from Craigs. Please go ahead.
Hi. A couple of questions. Just going back to one of the ones earlier about first right of refusal, did the other partners in this have first right of refusal over this 25%?
No.
Okay. What debt is in the pipeline company?
Alexa, do you want to handle that one?
Sure. Andrew, there's no debt in the pipeline company.
Okay. How does this affect New Zealand tax losses? Or does it create your own within the Australian business?
It shouldn't impact the New Zealand tax loss position. The earnings from this investment will form part of our worldwide income for New Zealand tax purposes and be taxable in Australia. And the Trans-Tasman taxation rules will allow for us to have credit for the tax that we're paying in Australia.
And it will be, there's no tax losses that get generated and you will actually be paying tax on this?
Yes, that's still to be worked through, Andrew, but should the
Wade.
Investment be in a tax-paying, sorry, Wade, should the investment be in a tax-paying position, we would obviously have a tax bill to pay. And that is
okay.
Anticipated. Yeah.
Okay. Cool, that's all from me. Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, if you do wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your phone. Your next question comes from Andrew Hodge from ACC. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the question. I just wanted to follow up on, I think it was Neville's question before. So you don't believe that the Viva pipeline would reduce the earnings of this, given that it's in Melbourne's planning over the next few years, and it seems like it's going to be linking further downstream. And you would probably likely bypass a lot of the other facilities. It would bypass a lot of the other facilities.
Yeah, that's right. So it would bypass the Somerton and Tullamarine pipeline, for which we don't have any equity interest in.
Andrew, just to clarify, it directly connects into the Somerton pipeline.
Which
is the investment that we've acquired, and so it should improve the earnings of the pipeline that we've just taken a strategic stake in. It's not bypassing the the pipeline that we have just announced a stake in.
But the tie-in point's far towards the end, which means that the demand, like, it might not necessarily need to come through Newport or Altona or Yarraville, and could purely come through Geelong, which would eliminate, depending on the revenue structure, it's likely to be able to try and reduce some of the revenue further upstream.
It would reduce the revenue for the Tullamarine pipeline, which is not part of the acquisition we've announced today, and potentially bypass the Somerton Depot, which is also not part of the acquisition we've announced today.
Okay.
Andrew, it's actually one of the upside opportunities we see with this particular asset. We've done quite a bit of work on this extension opportunity.
Okay. It just, I guess, being frank, I mean, just given the way that you originally answered some of the questions, it seems like you didn't really understand a lot of it entirely. And so it was just a bit confusing about, because, I mean, it's connected to the Somerton pipeline, which is obviously still needs to connect to the depot and then Tullamarine. And there's still the existing bottleneck. So I guess it's just slightly concerning, that's all.
No, we actually, Andrew, it was actually quite a significant part of our diligence, but also there's a number of things that we know about it that are, confidential. So, you know, we can talk publicly about the things that are public, and then there's other things which are private. But as I said, it's one of the debottlenecking opportunities which would materially enhance the value of the asset that we've bought today.
Andrew, just to clarify, the extension directly connects into the middle of the Somerton pipeline.
Yes.
So it bypasses the depot and the Tullamarine pipeline, but it still flows through part of the Somerton pipeline.
Okay.
And that's shown in the published diagrams.
Okay.
Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. I'll now hand back to Mr. Buchanan for closing remarks.
Thanks all. Really appreciate the time and the questions, and looking forward to connecting with you all as we move into results next year.
That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.